Please welcome Ann Rashin.
Thank you, Kara. Oops. How's that? And thank you so much to Joan and to Jan and to Jimmy and all the Mad Women and friends that are here. I'm going to start with a few Michigan poems. I'm from Detroit, and I spend a lot of time in northern Michigan also, so these are a couple country poems. Pigeon River. He's memorized the maps, studied the way the road goes, considered the best route to return to all the places he remembers riding by as a child. Now he takes us back there too. We are walking through our father's nostalgia, seeing the deep blue-green of the just-found Lost Lake sinkhole through his eyes, passing over the rivulets of the Pigeon River, marking the places the elk once were, wondering, too, just where that witness tree might be. We reach fast around the old bark, press ourselves into it, to feel another hand there waiting, holding on to this past we never knew. What a way to go. She thought the storm had ended, so she put on her hot pink walking jacket, tied up her hiking shoes, grabbed her sun hat to ward off mosquitoes, and headed out on the sloppy mud road. Entering the lush green trail, she thought, I may never come back. The wet leaves enveloping her, every now and then a red or yellow branch announcing itself. Like the pileated woodpecker she startled that traveled up the bark, knowing she had seen him, she thought a burly black bear might emerge at any moment, stretch himself over her, his wet fur sticking to her neck. What is it you're supposed to do? Stay still, don't run, or run, don't stay still, or climb the nearest tree? All of a sudden she forgot as the clouds began to cover the just emerging haze of sun. No one would know if she were gone, smothered by a bear on the trail, or taken out by a fallen birch branch. She might even make the local evening news. Someone driving by might have caught a glimpse of her hot pink jacket heading down the trailhead. The search team would only look for that color. She would go down in history as the girl in the hot pink running jacket, even though she never liked that color, despised it as a teenager. What a way to go, onlookers would say, looking down at the spot, shaking their heads, then turn, head home for dinner. Near to death. Every time I walk by the bend in the road, by the Wildwood Trail's parking lot, I remember my mother stopping the car in a downpour to bury the dead dog that looked even more forlorn in the heavy rain. I was too squeamish and saddened to help her. It wasn't our dog or any dog we knew, and I had trouble getting that near to death. This was only a few years before we lost her. Cancer stole her away, only 40. We buried her in an old Detroit cemetery she used to love to walk in, near Mount Elliott and Lafayette, across from MLK Junior High School, in earshot of marching band practice. Sometimes we'd see hawks circling near her maple, sometimes robins and swallows darting between headstones. She had the strength to bury the dead, even in the harshest conditions, shovel, mud, puddles. The day we buried her was almost too pretty. I kept worrying about her not having shoes in heaven, being barefoot in the clouds. It is still hard for me to bury the dead. My kitten is learning to hunt, is starting to bring me what he finds. My hands still shake, I feel queasy, wish for the resilience and strong stomach of my mother, who knew what to do, who always knew what was right. Thank you. Unraveling. Now that you are dead and gone, you show up in my dreams. It is the only place I see you and hear your voice again. There you are, lying on your navy couch in the old house on Chapel, asking me to stay a while. You have some things to tell me about your cloning experiment. don't know if you'll be around in a few weeks to see the results. You want to make sure to pass on your knowledge while you can. A couple comes to visit you, and they ransack the attic, taking all the change from your old purses. I cannot stop them. There you are in another dream, waiting for graduation, unsteady on your feet, needing a cane. Your son flushes the heron with the 8 babies in her beak down the toilet. I leave in distress, try to find them in the stream outside. Something precious has been lost now that you are dead and gone, and I try to recover what I can, piece together this puzzle of dreams, find you again, your steady, knowing gaze, your strong grip on my hand, the stories we never had a chance to share, something sitting lazy there in the past, unraveling on its own without you to tell it. Just a couple more. The room of this body. Her voice brought me here, carried me to this room, this time, and her mother's voice brought her to her room. These fading voices of matriarchs long gone still nest here, linger in my consciousness. They sent their daughters to their rooms, closed them within, carried them inside. I wonder how I could do this now. Think about all the mothering that happened before me. Think I may stop our line by not mothering. The Parises, McClellans, Bernardines, all those genes will stop here in the room of this body. The sadness sits deep. This morning, my cat tunneled under covers, curled in a circle near my belly, and as he purred like a motorboat, I imagined the vibrations of pregnancy, the inner shivering of a child coming together, what that might feel like. Perhaps I may still know this, but the probability dims like the lights in the houses of my ancestors fading into this autumnal dark. Thank you. One more, and this one is for Jan. My dream of Jimi Hendrix. In the dream, you and your husband dress like rock stars. You are Jimi Hendrix with pounds of makeup, and your husband is Janis Joplin. You are all leather and zippers and braids, walking down Forbes Avenue holding hands. You want me to follow you to the fruit market, so I go along and take pictures of you inspecting apples and smelling pears in your costume. Back at your house, I keep snapping shots, paparazzi. You stop me by handing over a baby of a visiting writer's. I hold him and we both pat his back, but stop when we realize we are too rough. His scalp is disconnecting from his head. We didn't know until the blood started. He looks at us later like traitors, this odd Jimi Hendrix and the real me sitting in the hospital waiting room.